This is episode 6 of You've Been Gilmored with Mary and Blake.
Moving home.
Nothing's impossible, I have found. When my chin is on the ground, I pick myself up, dust myself off, start all over again. Don't lose your confidence if you slip. Be grateful for a pleasant trip and pick yourself up.
La la, la la, la. La la, la la.
All the way from Cranston, Rhode Island, welcome to You've Been Gilmored. It's a podcast dedicated to the show Gilmore Girls on Netflix. So grab yourself a cup of coffee and a pint of ice cream and enjoy the show.
La, la, la.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. I'm your host, Mary Larson.
My name is Blake, and I never slept with a Wookiee. Not once.
Really?
It's always been a dream of mine to sleep with a Wookiee. I'm not going to lie. Sleeping with a Wookiee now is, you know what? Since it's already been done, it's now passé.
Yeah, yeah. It's no longer on your bucket list.
Oh, you know, because I've seen it. I've experienced it, through the guise and through the lens of Rory Gilmore. And I think I'm good now. I'm not going to lie. Who sleeps with a Wookiee? Can we just talk about that real quick? Just for a hot second. Wait. What makes you think like, okay, I see this thing, big, tall, hair, furry thing, you know, and you're like, dude, I'm into that. I want that. You know what? I was actually going to make a really bad joke.
Okay.
And I'm not going to go there.
Good.
I'm just going to.
You know, we are on Facebook Live, so I'm glad you're not going there.
I'm just going to allow this to sit with itself.
Let it ride. Let it ride.
I'm going to let it ride. So at any rate. How you been, my love?
I've been good. I've been traveling. I went to Iowa for an Outlander convention called Through the Stones because we podcast about Outlander. Our podcast is called Outlander Cast, in case none of you knew. But I was there for 4 days. Lucky to get out because it started snowing like the Dickens in Iowa. I don't really know what it snows like, but...
Does it snow like Dickens?
I have no idea.
What does that mean, by the way, Dickens? Like, it's snowing like the Dickens.
I don't know. Like, I always pictured Charles Dickens, and that made me picture, like, Christmas Carol, and it was like, Molly was dead. You know? Like, is that what happens when it snows? I have no idea.
I don't think I've ever walked around saying, Molly is dead
when it snows. Like, Molly was dead. I'm gonna Google that. Like, what was the Marley was dead quote from the Christmas
Carol.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to find that quote.
Okay, sure. Whatever. No problem.
Yeah. Old Molly was as dead as a doornail.
Oh,
that's
my
how, that's,
goodness.
That's like where the dead as a doornail thing probably comes from. It's from Marley's ghost.
So, listen, we apologize for not being here sooner.
Marley was dead to begin with. That's what it was. To begin with. Okay, continue.
We apologize for not getting back to you guys sooner with spring. As Mary has just said, she was in Iowa for a conference. And we, as you know, had the flu prior to winter.
Who gets the flu?
I know. Who gets the flu now? You get the flu shots and everything. What are we doing here? At any rate, we decided that since I was coughing like a madman during the winter episode, that we would take a week to try to get a little bit more healthy so that you guys would not be annoyed when listening or seeing us on Facebook Live. So we took a little bit of a break. We're back. We're here in full-fledged, full force now. Hopefully, we will be able to finish the rest of the series by week's end. This week's end. If my darling wife sitting across the way from me thinks that's a good idea, or do you think that is that's just.
We're going to the theater tomorrow night. The theater, the theater. If you know that quote, put it in the Facebook Live because it is the season where that quote is that I just mimicked. But we're going to see A Gentleman's Guide to Murder.
Oh, well.
Tomorrow evening.
So that is the reason why we have been away. I apologize. But for now, my love, I think we should stop boring people. And why don't we just get right to the GBGs? Are you
ready?
Yes,
please.
All right, let's do it.
Jump on in. So Blake, this episode, spring, we're going to talk about what was good, what was bad, and what was great.
What do you got for your good?
My good was Rory moving home. I hate when Rory's away from Lorelai for extended periods of time. I love the two of them together. The amount of Pop-Tarts that they consume when they do rivals only the amount that I generally eat by myself. So I'm just happy Rory's home.
Only the cinnamon kind. I like the cinnamon kind and the s'mores kind.
I like generally more the berry kind, to be honest. So
get out of here.
You can have. I do enjoy the s'mores and the cinnamon. I feel like the s'mores isn't good when it's heated.
Well, what was the original Pop-Tart? Was it like the strawberry?
Like a strawberry one?
I think it probably was the strawberry with the white icing and the little nonpareils, whatever they're called.
Yes, I would. And the bad.
What's the bad?
The bad is nothing bad about like the show. I know how sometimes people say like, oh, I didn't like this or that about the show. What I didn't like was just the fact that Lorelai and Luke are now lying to each other.
Ooh, very good.
And Lorelai is hiding that she is now going to therapy by herself. Mm-hmm. And Luke in turn then lies to her that he met with Emily. And I really didn't like that. I think there was a huge turn for their relationship. And the great were the therapy sessions.
Oh, yes, they were.
Oh, my God.
Yes, they were.
As someone who has sat in way too many therapy sessions myself.
All the copays.
Oh, my. Listen.
How many copays have you paid?
I could have paid for my kids' college college. And, like, college in the future is going to be a million. The amount of therapy that I had to go to growing up and then further on in life with family. My family doesn't know how to watch Facebook Live, so I could say this. I love them very much, but let me tell you.
Oh, man. When they were in those therapy sessions.
What did you picture?
I pictured you and your mother. I pictured.
That was what it was like, pretty much, except I was 16 being told, why don't you have more Christian friends? Jesus loves all the little children of the world, Mom. Okay? I don't.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so we had a very different upbringing.
I haven't laughed that hard in a while.
Thank you. So what was your GBG?
Oh, wow. I can't even top that now. I can't top the Christian Friends GBG. Oh, boy. All right. The good was the cold open, the therapy session, how it opened up and it was just completely, utterly silent. Mm-hmm. And Lorelai saying, well, I'd like to say that I'm sorry. And she just goes on, and her mother's like, you can't just say, it's a blanket sorry, it's insulting. And all I thought of was, who was your mom?
Yeah.
And she's like, it's, and Lorelai's like, it's good going forward too, you should be happy. Like, all I could see was just both of you, you and your mother, having this, the same exact conversation, and... Oh my God! I actually also had there was a tie. Richard's looming presence throughout this whole episode. Mm-hmm. I was happy to see that that Richard was the catalyst for the first episode, and they have since continued that. They've allowed Richard to become part of the episode, but not overtake it and not force it. Mm-hmm. When Rory goes to kiss the painting, like, oh, hey, here, Grandpa, hi. And then when Emily is talking about Richard and how they were married 50 years and she knew everything that he did, and even when they got separated, it brought them back. And Richard is still the very big looming presence. It's still the very big reason why we have what we have. It's the one of the, I think the biggest reason why so far within the story that A Year in the Life, Gilmore Girls, actually exists. So what are you pointing to, my love?
Pointing to our cat. I'm letting people in Facebook Live know that Khaleesi is here in the photo.
The bad, Rachel Ray. What are we doing with Rachel Ray?
Sammies.
Oh, my goodness gracious. And again, this goes along the lines of the cameos thing with the Roy Choice and the Rachel. And then Lorelai just pretends like, oh, it's Rachel Ray. Like, oh, okay, you're in and out. Like, see you later. Like, I feel like that would never happen. It would never happen.
What do you mean it would never happen?
First of all, Lorelai would never be like, okay, gone, see you later, I'm just going to let you go. And then Rachel Ray would never just go to some random inn in Connecticut.
Why not?
It just, tell me, have you ever heard of that? Have you ever heard of Rachel Ray going to cook for some random lady at some random inn in the middle? It's just not plausible. I don't like it.
Okay.
Like when they had Christiana Amanpour on, when they had Madeleine Albright on in the original series,
okay,
it made sense because there was a connection to those two characters, to Rory. There is, however, no connection between Rachel Ray and Lorelai Gilmore. It just doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also had another tie with this too, which is they're getting a little self-indulgent with certain things. And I think it's because they have to separate, they have to create content for 90 minutes. Like, I felt that the first episode, it needed to be 90 minutes.
Yes.
This episode, in my opinion, did not need to be 90 minutes. And one of the things that I think they were getting self-indulgent with was the Kirk storyline. And then the film. And, like, I know it's meant to bring levity. And, like, the town meetings, too. Like,
the gay parade.
The gay parade. And, like, it's funny. I think it's wicked funny. But, like, when Gypsy is trying to call out Taylor for being gay, like, I don't ever remember that being, like, a thing in the show. I don't ever remember,
I thought Gypsy was trying to call out herself.
See, I thought she was trying to call out Taylor.
So you guys can let it... I don't know. So the first time I watched it, I thought Gypsy was saying the same thing. Like, Taylor, are you... She was asking if Taylor was gay.
Yes.
And then the second time I watched it, I was like, oh, is Gypsy offended that she wasn't asked to be in the parade? Mm-hmm. Is that what's going on? Because then afterwards, she still looked upset. And I was like, wait a second. Who are you referring to, Gypsy? I'd mm-hmm. love our friends in Facebook Live to weigh in. Do you think Gypsy was referring to Taylor, to herself, or to both? I have no idea.
I don't know, but the way she was looking at him, she's like, is there anybody else you want to call out? Is there anything? And then he's like, no. And she goes, oh, well, there you go. Like, it was like confirming the fact that he's not gay. And like, they also played with this too with Michelle in the first episode, where it was like they had to like retcon him to be gay. Like, they, that was that. And it was never really approached in the original season. You just assumed it, but it was never approached for Michelle. So now I feel like they're trying to do the same thing with Taylor, and it just didn't fit. And I felt like, you know, and then like the whole thing with the B-list actors, and I just felt like it was forced. It wasn't natural to what we were doing. However, there is a fix in my grade. The fix is, this whole episode, in my opinion, was completely anchored. And you said this, my love, already, so I hate to reiterate it.
It's fine.
But the therapy sessions, mm-hmm. you know, it again, last episode, it's not by chance that all of a sudden it started gaining its own steam when Lorelai and Emily have this conflict now over Richard's death, and the whole storyline between Lorelai and Emily, and then eventually agreeing to the therapy, and now with this episode, it's more therapy again. You're seeing the two really hash out like these issues. Like, Lorelai is trying to sweep everything under the rug, like nothing is happening. Yet Emily is trying to say, no, actually, my daughter was the one who was 16 years old and didn't even leave me a note telling me where she was going. She had this kid. And even Lorelai saying, that's all old news. It may be old news and it may be part of the old series, but it is still prevalent.
Yes.
To not only Emily, but to us as the viewers.
The whole story, exactly, to the Gilmore Girls story. Be nice to the kitty.
Well, she's about to scratch me. Scratch my nipple. What do you want me to do? So, all right. So, she did. She scratched my nipple. So, so my love, coffee cup rating. What do you got for your coffee cup rating?
I'm going to give this one a 5.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, you did not expect that coming, and probably a lot of other people didn't.
What?
I really enjoyed this episode.
How did you enjoy this episode more than the premiere?
I don't know. Maybe it's the second time watching it, but I felt like, maybe because I just feel, you know what it is? I don't feel good. I feel like I'm flailing a little bit right now in my life, mm-hmm. and I feel like I got Rory. I really got Rory right now.
See,
and in addition, I liked those light moments. I liked the silly movie with Petal, and I liked seeing all these friends at the international festival, which only had 15 countries when they were supposed to have 190.
I thought that was
something.
Very funny. I thought that was perfect Stars Hollow, in my opinion.
Yeah, like. Stars Hollow is that, you know, when Taylor says, you know, the gazebo and the lights, and we talk about so much how we love Stars Hollow. So there were those moments of great depth in those therapy sessions that brought up this stuff that we've wanted to have them talk about for 7 years, mm-hmm. now 9 years. And yet, more than 9 years. What am I talking about? And then with Rory,
9 years since the end. Yeah, I got you. I got you back.
And then with Rory, the first time I watched it, I was like, Rory, who are you? Are you like season 5 or whatever it was of Gilmore Girls, Rory, where you just mess up and you leave Yale and you live in the pool house? But no, this was a hard time for Rory. And I don't know, watching it a second time, I really enjoyed this episode because I felt like her character and Lorelai's character is starting to take a turn for the worse as well. Mm-hmm. It felt like here's all the happy stuff of Stars Hollow and our gay parade with the lights, ta-da, and yet life can sometimes suck. Yep. And I liked that a lot, this watching it again. So how about you? What's your coffee cup rating?
You know, I'm going low on this one. I'm going 3.9 coffee cups. It's not at the 4 level, but it's not as bad as a 3. So it's got to be 3.9. It's right there. And the reason why I don't like this episode as much, again, because it should have been shorter. It could have been an hour, in my opinion. I could care less about Naomi Shropshire.
Oh my gosh, seriously. I'm all set with her.
I'm done with her. Yeah. I'm glad that the book is done with her. I'm glad that she's gone out of my life. Okay? I could care less about that. Mm-hmm. And most of the Rory stuff, I could care less about, to be honest. I could care less about the Condé Nast thing. I could care less about Sandy Says. I do appreciate the Logan stuff, but all the Rory crap, it doesn't do anything for me. Even when she went to visit Chilton with Paris.
See, I loved the Paris part. I love Paris in this episode.
I mean, I do like Paris. I like seeing her. I do wonder if we're going to get more out of Paris and Doyle, specifically because they...
What do you mean more? Like, we've already watched all the episodes. Are you saying
no.
Gilmore Girls comes back again?
No, what I'm saying is, this is supposed to be an episode about spring.
Okay.
So what I'm getting at is...
You look forward to seeing more of Paris.
Will more story come out of Doyle and Paris? Or is this just like the drop-in, like Tristan, fake Tristan, who was not...
Oh, was not
Chad
him.
Michael Murray, by the way. It was not Chad Michael Murray. Are we going to get more of him, or are we not going to get more of him, or is more going to come out of this? At any rate, what I'm getting at is I love all the stuff with Lorelai and Emily. I love the stuff with Richard. I actually like the stuff with Stars Hollow. However, I really feel like the Rory thing, and especially like going back and forth now, seeing Rory in and out of Stars Hollow and in Britain, in London, and then even Lorelai leaving Stars Hollow and going to New York, I felt like we have such a rich, fun, warm environment here in Stars Hollow. Why are we making them leave and go back and forth?
Because they're making it real life.
And on whose dime is Rory going back and forth between London and Stars Hollow?
I think that's some inheritance money that she got.
I would hope so.
Because that is cheap,
man. Not cheap.
And she's just doing it. She can't even find her undies. she never finds her undies, and she can't find her lucky outfit. And if she had that much money to fly to London back and forth so many times, just buy a new red dress.
But here's the question: we have this great, you know. All right, you know what? Let's just get into the rest of the show, and we'll get out of the coffee cup ratings. Do we have any listener coffee cup ratings?
Yes, we do. We do. I've been putting them all in.
Oh, okay. We have Colleen Farley. She has 4.5 cups. Anna Spain, also 4.5 cups. Although she does miss Rory having a direction. And I would agree with you, Anna. I think having Rory be kind of directionless, I think, is cute. But it can only last so long. She needs a purpose. She needs something to guide her. Like, she always had that guy. She always had Chilton. She always had Yale. She even always had that kind of boyfriend thing pushing her. And this iteration of Gilmore Girls, she doesn't seem to have much. The argument could be made, however, that that's the point, that she is living this Jack Kerouac, listless existence. I could probably see that. At any rate, are you ready to get into the rest of the show?
Well, there's a little bit. We had a question about who people thought Gypsy was calling out in that town meeting where they're getting ready for the gay pride parade. Gypsy is like, Taylor, who do you think it could be? And some people, Blake thought she was calling out Taylor. I thought she was calling out herself. And Anna Spain says that she thought Gypsy was calling herself out too, as well as Melissa Acquise says the same. So keep voting in the Facebook Live if you think that Gypsy was calling herself out or calling out Taylor. And Ashley Nasser Crawley, her good was back in the... What did I say?
Melissa Achilles, not Acquise.
What did I just say? Good thing I didn't say Equus, that like naked play with Dan Radcliffe. It's okay.
Ashley, you're a wizard, Harry.
Ashley says, back in the minutia and a delicious quirk of life.
Look at you.
I can say big words. I just can't say regular words.
You can't say Achilles.
And the quirk of the life of Stars Hollow, even more than the winter episode. See, Ashley liked Stars Hollow. I did too.
And no, I do too.
She said the bad was Rory. Oh, sweet Rory. We all have our angst, but the entire 90 minutes of Rory angst was too much for me. Lorelai struggle I can do, but Rory is tougher for me. And her great was the therapy. So much therapy, and it was perfectly cathartic. And she had the bonus was the Mae Whitman cameo. Now, Mae Whitman, of course, was the daughter character in Parenthood. So there's a lot of Parenthood cameos inside this season of Netflix.
More self-awareness. I appreciate that self-awareness.
Yeah, and Ashley gave it 4.2 cups at one watching. Maybe she'll like it more on a repeat watch. I will tell you this, Ashley, if you're anything like me, you will.
All right, you ready to get into the rest of the show?
Melissa said, she said Achilles. She told me in Facebook Live. She said she dinged me as well.
You know what, Melissa, this is just for you.
Sorry.
And you know what? Give that to Mary. That's her ding moment. Just keep drinking, honey. All right, let's get into the rest of the show. All right, so this one was entitled, as we all know, Spring. It was written by Daniel Palladino, husband to Amy Sherman Palladino, and it was also directed by Daniel Palladino. And Daniel Palladino is not just some schmo. I mean, he's written tons and tons.
I love that word, schmo.
Tons and tons and tons of Gilmore Girls episodes. He's actually quite known for having the more kooky kind of episodes.
Kooky.
And the more quirky kind of episodes.
There you go.
And I would kind of call this a quirky episode, Spring. I would call it a quirky episode.
Hold on to your butts, because Summer's quite quirky and kooky.
Welcome to Jurassic Park.
What are you saying?
Hold on to your butts.
You're supposed
to, you know what? Oh my God. You have to stop saying the rest of the, this is episode to episode.
Okay, sorry. I already watched them all a lot of times.
Oh my goodness gracious. Ruining the whole shtick we got here.
Go for it.
So
he's written kooky, quirky episodes.
Yes, and this I feel like was a very quirky kind of episode with the gays and the borrowing the other town's gays and all that other stuff, and
which was a little weird. I'm not gonna lie.
I'm telling you, it was kind of weird. This episode was a little teeny tiny off for me, which is why I get the 3.9 coffee cup rating. But one of the things that really bothers me about this episode is, you have Stars Hollow. And Stars Hollow is one of those communities that is an asset to your show.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's kind of like, all my Outlander nerds here are going to freak out when I say this, but it's kind of like Lallybroch. Okay?
Sing me a song.
It's one of those fleshed out communities that is an asset to what you're trying to present. Another show that I think I felt like really brought out the show's personality was Pawnee in Parks and Rec.
Okay, yes.
It has its own mythology, you know, with all the Indians and how it was settled, and they have all these terrible like interactions between the Native Americans and like the actual settlers, and they make a joke out of it, right?
Yep.
And you have that same kind of mythology, of course not Indians, but you have the same kind of mythology with Stars Hollow, and the idea that it is a completely fleshed out town, it is an asset to what you're doing. Why are we leaving it? What's the point? Why are we spending time with Rory going to wait on lines and literally, see, there you go. There's a Parks and Rec reference. Literally, fall asleep while talking to somebody, and then sleeping with a Wookiee. What are we doing
here? I want you to lead this episode. You're on a roll. Keep it going.
No. I'm not leading. No, it's not my job. I'm not. Nope. That's your job. It's not me.
Noses. I already touched my nose.
Too late. So what are we doing? Right? I mean, of course, we do have, and I want to get your opinion on this, a furthering of this notion of getting bigger and replacing things and starting all over again, as we have played at the beginning of this episode. We have Luke Emily trying to give Luke the money from Richard. Again, Richard's presence is still there, but to make a franchise out of Luke's, we have the therapy sessions between Lorelai and Emily trying to improve their relationships again, trying to start over. We have the A-list versus B-list actors trying to get the Dragonfly Inn to be bigger and have the espresso machines and have the gym in the spa so that Matthew McConaughey can come and work out his pecs and get it rubbed down.
Love it.
You know, and if you're not going to bag Jennifer Lawrence, what's the point in living, right? Is that what Michelle says? Oh, what's the point of living if we're never going to bag Jennifer Lawrence?
Yes.
Right? It's a question. And then you bring up the sewers thing. Like, they're trying to expand sewers from the first episode. Mm-hmm. It's all about expansion. We have that great interaction between Luke and Lorelai, and saying, when Luke is saying, we don't need to get bigger. What's the point? Well, we don't need it. And it's this going back and forth, the tug back and forth for everybody wanting Gilmore Girls to get bigger. But the show either demands it or it doesn't demand it. And my love, what is your opinion on this notion of the show either getting bigger or demanding it or not demanding it? I mean, we're going to New York. We're spending time in lines. We're wasting time there. But when we get back to Stars Hollow, we're finally at the meat of the story.
She needed to go away to have that ending. You know, that ending of Rory moving home was my good for a reason. Mm-hmm. Rory was home for so long. And then even at Yale, she was home. Let's Chilton. Be real. I mean, no.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, the previous. Okay, I'm sorry.
Chilton, she lived at home in Yale, even though she lived at Yale. Really, it was home. It was right. 45 minutes from home. And granted, New York isn't that far away from Stars Hollow. But we see her traveling to London. And I think that by Rory being out of Stars Hollow, it shows Rory being out of her element. Mm-hmm. She doesn't know where home is. She doesn't know where her lucky dress is. She doesn't know where her undies are. Okay. Rory is lost. And I liked that we got to be lost with her. And if you're going to be lost and if you're going to be foreign, New York is a great place to do it, guys. You know, like, it's one of those places where it's so big that if you're not a local to New York, that's a great place to get lost.
Right. I would agree, because there are so many people there, but no matter what, you're still very lonely. You're still alone.
Yeah. And that's what I think going to New York was for us. It was, I tell people all the time, when a lot of my friends live in New York and a lot of my friends have lived in New York and then have moved home from New York. And I've told them that when I've been in New York, I thought about moving there and I decided against it because I said, you know, you never feel as lonely as you do in a big city, because at least when you're in a small place, you feel like, oh, there's not that many people here who I'm not seeing. But when you're in a big city and you're alone, you feel real lonely. Mm-hmm. And you feel real lost. And New York's this big bustling place where people seem like they know what's going on. These people on these lines were a great representation of Rory, by the way. Mm-hmm. You know, just going along because it's a fad. Do you write for the fad, Sandy says? You're standing in line because you're so passionate about something. And yet, guess what? This isn't even a line for anything. Guys are just sitting and having lunch.
Like,
you don't even know what you're doing and you think you do. And I just love that we got lost with Rory. Yes, she slept with a Wookiee. Hysterical.
I can't get over that.
I'm glad that it was a Wookiee and not a Klingon. Like, at least I have that much respect for her, where I was like, nice. Like, nice job. I don't think I could do a Klingon, but Wookiee.
No, you don't want. Actually, it's very doing it with Klingons is very violent. Very, very,
they
very
actually
violent.
Discussed this in Star Trek canon?
Yes, they do.
That's disgusting.
It's when Worf was looking for a mate.
I'm also, and I don't he need was to know this. I don't.
He was
if
questioning
I
about
headphones.
Deanna Troi, and he was worried that he was going to hurt her. I'm just telling you.
I'm all set. Nonetheless, I think that we had to leave Stars Hollow to get lost with Rory.
Yes, and ultimately getting lost with her is what brings her back. I mean, after the whole Sandy Says thing where she kind of went into it with a little like silver spoon in her mouth a little bit.
That Sandy Says part was one of the parts that I didn't like, even though I gave this episode a 5. it just seemed so un-Rory to me. I mean, we've seen her be lost. We've seen her be lost a little bit in being strict with like her romance and her interest in that regard. But Rory, I feel like, is a researcher. Mm-hmm. And I hate that she went into Sandy Says without really knowing much about Sandy Says and not really having like a distinct vision for at least that interview. Like, she could have at least Googled Sandy Says and come up with something on her 45-minute train ride, mm-hmm. right? So that right. just felt very un-Rory to me, but it goes to show you how lost she truly is.
I don't know. I just feel like her, I mean, I appreciate where you're coming from about getting lost, but I do feel like all the trips to London and New York and like the whole thing, like, God, Logan just really went up my ass in this episode.
You just went there.
I did because, and he's firmly, I mean, all you see is feet. Right now, because
what do you mean feet? I hate feet. I hate feet so much. They smell.
No, he's so far up my ass. All you see is feet.
Oh, I thought you meant that like the director was showing his feet a lot, and I was like, I didn't see his feet, and I would have hated it.
You know what?
So far up my ass, all you see is feet.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So anyway.
You got my Awkwafina.
You have at least 4 dings this episode so far, and we've only been doing this now for 30 minutes.
I'm exhausted. I'm sleep deprived. It was in Iowa.
So what I'm getting at is, like, I want to like Logan, but we have him in his engagement, and I will say, seeing Greg Henry, who plays Mitchum Huntsberger, was fantastic. I thought it was a good organic entry.
Yes.
Into the whole thing. But like, oh, this is one of the family holdings. And why did you think I sprung for the $300 bottle of wine? And
you know what's interesting in that conversation was when they said like, oh yeah, Logan's engaged to someone abroad.
Mm-hmm.
And Rory didn't flinch, which leads you to know that Rory's known this.
Right.
Like, she's known it.
And she just
cool
hasn't said
it.
Nothing.
Yeah.
But then again, as much as Logan has bothered me in this episode, and like, he's trying his best to kind of be normal, but it's just not working because he is engaged to Audette, the French lady, and
yep.
You know, that's part of the dynastic process for him.
Nice word.
Thank you. I'm actually amazing. That's why. what I'm getting at is, as much as he bothered me,
mm-hmm.
Rory is bothering me even more.
That's okay.
For allowing that to happen. And she
for
goes,
allowing what part to happen?
For allowing Logan to happen and allowing.
Hold up.
What?
You're more upset with Rory?
No. Well, first of all, I feel like Rory is a strong enough woman, a strong enough character where she could tell Logan to go F himself.
She doesn't want to. She wants to F Logan.
Yeah. Yes, she does. But. Okay, fine. You know what? Take that and table that. Okay, table that.
Table what?
Table the whole Logan thing. Okay,
really? You just opened a can of worms, though.
No, but I really do feel like she is a strong enough woman where at the end of season 7, she tells Logan to go get his shine box.
She would rather focus on her career at that point.
That's what I'm getting at.
Yes.
Why is she going back to Logan?
I don't think she is. I think she's her friendly little F. Like her friend with benefits.
Yeah, I feel like she's better than that.
She is.
You're taking it like I'm knocking her, that like, oh, she's being a slut. No, that's not the case. I'm saying she's a strong enough person where she can control her own life. She doesn't need someone like Logan to fall back on. Mm-hmm. She is allowing herself to be subject to another relationship. I mean, outside of her own relationship with Logan. Like, she is now a slave to this French girl, Audette, and Logan's engagement.
I see it very differently. I see it as one of the things that Rory thinks she can control, mm-hmm. that she knows that she has Logan wrapped around her finger. He's engaged and he's still sleeping with her. Yeah. He's engaged and he's still having dinner with her. He's engaged and he's still letting her sleep over. He's engaged and he's bringing her to a restaurant that his family is partners in, that his dad goes to.
Okay, so, all right. So, whether we agree on this or not, I think is kind of irrelevant because it does play into the overall arc of what I'm trying to say, which is this. It kind of feels like Rory feels like she can do anything, and everything is everything just shows up. Like, Yale showed up. Like, she was able to go to Yale because she was given the money. She was able to go to Chilton because she was given the money.
She also worked really hard to study.
I agree, but she couldn't have gone without someone kind of feeding it to her, regardless. And her life so far is kind of the same thing. She goes into the meeting with Condé Nast and she doesn't have anything prepared. She's just kind of like, hey, I'm showing up and I got a book proposal. And even the same thing with Sandy says. She feels like, I got this job. You want me. What are we talking about? We're going to have an interview. Like, what? That to me is like, that is her just feeling like, it's just going to show up.
Ashley Nasser Crawley says she's lost and it's giving her temporary comfort being with Logan. She can jump in or out when she wants. And one thing she can control, it's understandable. And if anyone has an issue with it, it's a double standard.
Oh, no. I have a problem with Logan, too.
Okay.
No. I'm not trying to say that Logan's okay with this. That I'm okay with Logan about this. I'm not. And that's why I kind of hate him even more now because, either you be with Rory or you don't.
Yeah.
Don't go back and forth. I mean,
you
don't
and I
go
have
double
never
dipping.
Been Team Logan. Like,
no.
Like, and that's what people need to know. Like, Blake and I have never been Team Logan. Blake's been Team Jess.
Whoa. No, what? I hate Jess.
Who do you like then?
I don't like any of them.
Well, you have to pick one.
I don't
have to
pick
one.
One
right now. You have to pick one of those three. It doesn't matter even though this is the new season.
Nope.
No,
I'm not picking nothing.
Blake,
I don't like any of them.
How do you not
choose? My daughter was dating three of them, I'd have them all murdered.
Oh, my God.
I don't like any of them. I don't want them in my house. Logan's too smarmy. Jess is too much of a fake bad boy. He's like all like emo and, oh, I hate the world. I wish the sun was as black as my heart. And like, I hate that. And then you have Dean, who's just a dingleberry. He's just a dingleberry.
You know, Anna Spain said that she thinks Logan is trying to fix Rory. Rory is trying to be an adult, but doesn't know what that means. With Richard being gone, her strong male is gone. And Kylie Angel says that she thinks that Rory is escaping in Logan.
Oh, now that is something I could agree with. I mean,
yes.
I think Ashley kind of touched on that. I think...
If you're going to escaping with like a very rich guy in a nice penthouse
that helps.
Buys you $300 of wine.
At his family holdings.
And you get to call the shots.
I agree. And Anna, you mentioned something that you said like, you know, Logan is trying to fix Rory.
Mm-hmm.
I think Rory is looking for Logan to fix her, not the other way around. Like, I don't think Logan wants to fix her. I think he is there and he's taking advantage of his situation. Whereas Rory wants that kind of...
It's tough because this is also Logan who proposed to Rory, who wanted to marry Rory years and years and years ago. So I like love to hate Logan, mm-hmm. but I also hate to love Logan, if that makes sense. All right. So, wow, good
don't
thing
don't
that
go
was
dropping
closed.
Water.
I know, Aquafina. I always talk about Aquafina in Outlander.
But
so I'm
ultimately,
really happy
ultimately,
Aquafina.
All this crap is it leads to a good thing, which is Rory gets back to Stars Hollow.
Yes,
and she says, "Okay, moving in," and that is the intent. Whether or not you agree with how they got there, whether it was most effective, I think that's a different conversation altogether. And I think that's a good conversation for everybody to comment on. Guys, if you believed that the way they got there, the way they got Rory back to Stars Hollow? Did it work? Is it something that you actually believe? Is it something that you think Lorelai believes? Like, Lorelai going to New York and taking part in the lines,
which piece? Was hysterical how Lorelai kept getting the goods like way ahead of time, and then she would like trade them for different things. I loved that.
I love how she would just show up with like this like $600 pair of Jordans. She's like, oh yeah, I just got these. Like here they are. Like that's that. Mm-hmm. Guys, did it work for you? Did it make sense? And do you think that having Lorelai be a part of that in New York helped the Rory situation, or did they just bring Lorelai in just to kind of give more familiarity? Because again, Rory is just going to places and doing things that are completely foreign to Stars Hollow, to Rory, to anything that's gone on with Gilmore Girls so far. She's just kind of traipsing along.
You know what really worked for me though was the fact that, as I talked about, my bad was that Lorelai and Luke were lying to each other. Mm-hmm. Now, what I liked is that Rory came clean with her mom. We had this yep. whole lie about her sleeping with Logan.
Dee Dee.
Being Dee Dee. I do her dishes. And now Rory's able to come clean. And she really comes clean to her mom. She just says, like, I'm an absolute mess. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't have a job. I don't have an apartment. I slept with a Wookiee. I've been sleeping with Logan, who's engaged. Like, she just finally was able to come clean to her mom. And I really liked that, because that's one of the reasons I love the Gilmore Girls was their relationship, was their honesty, was how they were each other's best friend. And with Sookie being gone mm-hmm. at this time in Lorelai's life, that's one of the things that hurts me. And it hurts me so much that we in this episode talk about Michelle leaving. And Lorelai even talks about that, how the Dragonfly Inn was in of pals, like was an inn for friendship, how she and Sookie had this dream and they were going to do it. And I'm still so sad that we don't get Sookie, that we have Rachel Ray, who is no replacement for Sookie, as Lorelai even says.
What are we doing with Rachel Ray?
But
honestly,
that's it. Having Sammy's. I don't even know what a Sammy is inside. I have no idea. It looks yummy.
I don't even know what a Sammy is.
It's a sandwich.
I have no idea.
What is a Rachel Ray? Sammy.
We're literally Googling right now as we speak.
Yeah, who knows?
Here's the thing with this episode so far. Yes, I think the therapy sessions are great. It's great insight for the viewer into how fractured the Lorelai-Emily relationship is. But given the fact that we have somewhat of an idea of what that is. I really enjoyed seeing the therapy sessions, but there just wasn't the kind of emotional impact that you had in the first episode. And I think I wanted more of that. I think I wanted more. Remember how I said in our last episode, we finally had a good jumping off point. You know, the first half or the first third, perhaps, of the episode. Of the first episode was about getting all of the getting all of that stuff out of the way so we can finally get to the whole reason of why we're actually watching Gilmore Girls: A Year in the Life. Mm-hmm. They did it. And now it's time to capitalize on it. And I'm not sure if they capitalized on it enough yet. Do you think they took their position that they had at the end of episode one of winter,
and they made
the best of it in this episode so far?
You meaning like let's start therapy, and then what they got to delve into in their therapy sessions,
right? But not only that, but also what happens with Lorelai and Luke, and what happens with Rory? Do you think the show capitalized on its equity that it built in winter? Like, it really gave us a good starting off point. Did it really take that next step? Did it give us enough momentum getting into the third episode and hopefully leading into the fourth episode?
I'd say yes, and here's why.
Okay.
Lorelai and Luke are lying to one another.
Right.
Like, straight up lying. This isn't a weird conflict or April showing up. This is lying, and it's going to continue. And what I hated was how Luke struggled with lying to Lorelai and hearing her lie to him. Mm-hmm. And Lorelai lied to him and then just started watching her movie again and was smiling. And I hated that moment. And I think that it works because that is huge conflict and this is real life. And Rory is flailing in this episode. She has sex with a Wookiee. Yes.
We can't reiterate that point enough.
Yes. Sex with a Wookiee. You know what? People, I have not had sex with a Wookiee, but I've done like some stupid, stupid things in my life, like really stupid things in my life. And I think everyone has and done it even as an adult. Okay, I think that's where people are like, oh, this isn't high school or college, Rory. Well, guess what? I, as an adult, have really effed up plenty of times.
Many a time.
Many, many a time. And I'm close to the age of Rory in this show. And I saw that and I was like, yep, I could have seen myself being single, hanging out in lines, being attracted to a Wookiee if I was down in the dumps. I don't know. He could have said something really romantic. That, like the line from episode 2 of Star Wars, you know?
I know.
You know what I'm talking about, Blake? Blake and I discuss this line a lot. So I liked that. I liked that Rory was flailing, and I loved the conflict between Lorelai and Emily. It was huge. So yes, do I think that winter set up spring and spring continues to set things up? I say yes. I know you feel differently, but I loved that this episode was a hodgepodge, and yet Stars Hollow was like the shining happy light.
I will give you the whole thing about Luke and Lorelai and the lying part. I think that is what will eventually give, like, how the therapy sessions and Richard's death was the catalyst to the beginning of this of A Year in the Life. The lying part will propel, I think, the rest of the momentum for the rest of this season, because it has to come down to a conflict eventually between Luke and Lorelai. Lorelai is saying, Luke and I are happy. And it's almost like she's convincing herself that they're happy. And again, I think it's because her mom was the first one that said, Lorelai just does whatever she wants and she bowls people over. And I think Lorelai is convincing herself that she doesn't do that. Mm-hmm. And I also think that she's convincing herself that they are happy because she repeats it a number of times. And then the last time, it's almost like a question.
Yeah, she says, we're happy. Luke's very happy. Luke and I are happy. And yeah, exactly. It wasn't with like strength and...
It's like, Luke and I are happy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I think that is what is going to be it's going to propel the rest of the season. And that is where I think the money is made in this episode. I came very close to playing that particular little scene
for
the opening. Yeah. I wanted that one, but Mary made the point that I think that what we ended up playing was probably best represents everything for everybody in this episode. Everyone is trying to pick up. Mm-hmm. Spring is the time of is a natural time of life. It is a natural time of starting over. It is the natural time of everything coming back. Yet everything is kind of falling apart in Stas Hollow. Everything is falling apart. And as much as I don't think she wants to admit it, things are falling apart for Lorelai. Michelle wants to leave. Sookie has already left. Remember, she's saying in the episode, this was supposed to be a buddy thing, like a pal thing.
Oh my God. It made me so sad. And I hated how Jackson was like, oh, Sookie was going to come to this international food fest. Let's be real. Sookie could have made all 190 some odd countries worth of food in an hour, no doubt. And yet she saw something growing on a step and thought it might be edible and didn't come.
Come on now.
No. Like, good try, but I did not fall for that.
Yeah, the whole reasoning for Sookie not being involved in the show, at least within the context of the story, has been a little lame. It's been lame. I understand why they did it. I understand why they were delaying it, because it's Melissa McCarthy, and she's kind of big time now.
Pretty big deal, yeah.
She's probably one of the most in-demand actresses, comedic actresses in the country. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for her to come back for Gilmore Girls is probably kind of tough. Mm-hmm. So they probably knew that they had her in their back pocket, but they couldn't get to her quite yet. So they had to keep making excuses. I get that. But all these things are kind of falling apart around Lorelai and Rory and even Emily. Emily is falling apart. She, I loved her line when she's like, why would I pay somebody not to agree with me? To not agree with me.
Yep.
Not even the therapist is agreeing or taking the side of Emily Things around her are falling apart. She has lost her partner of 50 years, and she made sure that Lorelai knew that it was of 50 years. And Lorelai's relationship is falling apart around her, kind of because of her own choices. I mean, once Luke knows that she is lying to him, he kind of says, yeah, I went to the bank. Because remember how mm-hmm. he comes home with the shirt and he says, oh, fancy shirt. Yeah. Did you go to the bank? Yeah, I went to the bank.
Yeah.
And he doesn't admit to her that he was with Emily. Why is Lorelai lying? And I need to ask you this as a woman.
Okay.
Why is Lorelai lying to Luke? Is she embarrassed by therapy? Is she afraid that if she admits to therapy that Scott Patterson, that Luke will let her go because she's crazy? Maybe her mother saying, yeah, one day you're just going to say, okay, I'm done. I'm leaving now. Do you think she's afraid that Luke will leave if she admits to therapy?
No.
Why is she lying then, in your opinion?
I think she's lying because she doesn't know why she stayed. Mm-hmm. And yet she realizes she needs a lot of work on herself. And she wouldn't know how to say that yet. You know how when you and I get into we have days where...
Thank you for putting that politely.
We have days where you come home and you're off. Or I come home. Or let's be honest, I'm home all the time. Or you come home and one of us is off.
Right.
And we're just off. You know, a little ornery or a little different. And I could ask you, and this can go both ways, so I'm trying to be equal opportunity, but I could ask you, hey, Blake, what's going on? Nothing. And I say, I think you're lying because something obviously is going on. You say, no, nothing. Nothing's mm-hmm. going on. And yet something is there. And later on, you're able to dictate and clarify and say, you know, I didn't know what it was. Now I know what it was. Something mm-hmm. was bothering me then, but I didn't know what it was. I didn't know how to put it into words yet. I think that's what it is for Lorelai. I think she knows something's up. I think she knows that she's questioning a lot of things between her relationship with Luke and grieving her father and figuring out this relationship with her mom and figuring out her inn. I mean, her inn is not what she thought it was going to be right now. She's really concerned about it. Lorelai has a lot going on in her mind right now. It's like a busy highway, and she doesn't know how to work that out. And a part of her knows that she probably needs to talk it out with the therapist, but she doesn't know how to say it to Luke yet. So I'm not mad at her. I don't think she's trying to necessarily hide things because she thinks her relationship is failing. I think she doesn't know what's going on. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yes, it makes sense.
That's how I took
in
it.
In as much of a way that a man can understand the very complex wide and broad ways of a woman's mind.
But no, but I said this happens to you. You come home and you say, I don't know, nothing's wrong. But then later on, you're able to say, you know what? I think something was wrong. I think I was upset by something at work or this or that. I mean, we saw it with Lorelai in that episode. You know, she has her phone, her mom cancels the therapy session, and she says to the therapist, okay, are we done? The therapist says, no, it's paid for. Mm-hmm. And Lorelai says, well, there's nothing really to talk about, but she's sitting down and she starts to unload things.
There's
anyway.
Some weird things happening around her.
Yeah. Like, she doesn't even know she needs therapy.
Right.
So how is she supposed to say that to Luke? I don't think she would know how to say it. What I didn't like is how quickly she recovered from lying.
Right, because she just, like you said, she just continued watching
her
film.
She just smiled and watched her movie. So that's the one part where I was like, I really kind of wish you, like, just like how Luke had this weird look on himself where you saw that moment of hesitancy where he was like, ooh, wow, Lorelai's lying to me.
Yeah.
I'm going to lie right back to her. I wish we had that a little bit for Lorelai instead of her just being back in her dreamland. But let's be honest, Lorelai escapes in film.
Sure. I mean, when you're having dreams about Paul Anka.
Hey. So that was a treat. We got to see Paul Anka.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
We got to see Mr. Kim.
Where the hell has this guy been? You have
never
seen this guy ever.
Never existed before.
And you heard about him in the pilot episode, and then you heard about him in later episodes, like once or twice, never shown him. And then here he is, this toothless little Asian man. Mm-hmm. And they like They say hi. It was almost like an inside joke. Like
it was.
Like, I know we have not said anything about this guy ever. We've never shown him. So here you go, Gilmore Girls nerds. Here is Mr. Kim. You know?
That was a complete. That's exactly what it was. That was exactly what it was. Oh, I just wanted to get. We have a quick comment from Ashley Crawley. She says, "Saying it out loud, meaning about therapy between Lorelai and Luke, why she lied, makes it real, and that's scary. So it seems better for her to lie than to say to Luke, 'I'm struggling and I need help.'" And Bethany Hashaway said, "I feel as though counseling is good for Lorelai. It seems to help her get her feelings out, and I agree." Melissa Aquilis. That's how we say it. Aquilis.
Okay.
Says that she terribly misses Sookie. So
yes,
we miss Sookie, but instead of Sookie, we got a Mr. Kim.
And Mrs. Kim, another Mrs. Kim sighting. And I love when Lame's like, "Mama, the tambourine is scaring them." And she says, "They'll get used to it just like electricity at night."
That actress has not skipped a beat. There have been a few moments for different actors and actresses where I'm like, "Ooh, really?" She and the guy who plays Kirk. And I mean, there were just some people I'm like, yep, you've been waiting for this moment because you just nailed it.
And then I love when Kirk was going through all of the countries and he's like, "Yeah, and Singapore is just being a dick. Other than that, 137 countries never got back to me."
You love that. That it was 190 something. I feel like I should know how
many
countries.
It's 150 some odd.
Whatever.
No, you know, I'm Googling.
There's
right
a lot
now.
Of countries in this world. And for Kirk to say 137 never even got it back to them. And here they were promoting this international food festival.
195 countries.
See? I got you. Once again, who got higher SATs?
Yeah. Okay. Whatevs. That's all right. Don't worry about it.
I'm not.
Don't be smart. Just keep going. Just keep talking, will you?
Colleen says that I liked the therapy sessions and the emotion in Emily talking about her marriage with Richard. I thought that was beautiful. But Rory and the Wookiee, awful.
Yeah.
It was so out of place for her and her character. I'm not sure what they were trying to do with that. But for me, it was a terrible addition to the episode. And back to Ashley, saying that she liked Lorelai sitting through the intensive therapy with her mom to talk about their parent-child woes that were offset by Lorelai walking through the lost with Rory.
Mm-hmm.
Almost like she's able to be supportive of her life choices in a way that Emily was never able to do that for her.
Yeah, okay. I can see that.
Like, and that's... Hello, Ben DeCastro. Ben is now in the chat. Thank you.
He has a blue check mark next to his name. Ben,
I don't know why.
How do you get blue check marks?
It took him a while, but he's explained to me how, so I'm going to get a blue check mark one day, too. That's what I want Santa to give me. I want a verified Facebook page, gosh darn it.
I want a verified Twitter, too. Can we get a verified Twitter?
You don't even tweet. Why do you think you can get verified?
I don't tweet personally, but I tweet it for all of our other crap that we do.
It's not crap.
Yeah, no, it's not. You're actually right. Thank you. I will apologize to all of the listeners and to you.
What did you think of Luke being dressed up and being approached by Emily?
I don't mind it so much. I like the fact that Luke feels like he has to do something more for Lorelai. I like the fact that he is a pro. I like his humor about it when Emily's showing up to his den. He's like, "Oh no, oh God, no." And she just, as much as she likes to get on Lorelai for bullying people and just plowing over people, she went into that diner and was like, "Luke, we're going. See you later. Bye. Just leave everything here. Leave Caesar here. And we're going to go look at some real estate." Like, wow. Like, you just bowled this guy over. And I love the struggle that Luke has. He has the struggle of trying to create more with his life, even though he doesn't need to create more. Yet he feels this bit, he feels this twang of insecurity.
What's that sound?
It's the cat eating food. Unbelievable.
Keep talking.
He has this twang of insecurity about giving more to Lorelai when she doesn't really need more. All she needs is him, I suppose. And showing the cat on Facebook. Oh my God. You know, she has him. And lost my train of thought because of you.
She has him.
Having the cat wave at Facebook Live. Yeah, people who are listening to the podcast right now are going to be freaking out. They're like, get to the point. So she has him and they have their life together. And yet he is being forced into this whole franchise thing. And I like the struggle that he has. I like this this kind of like gut check that he has for himself and for Lorelai. And he's kind of really only doing this just for her. And yet when he comes home, she's lying to him. And that, to me, if that were me and I knew that you were lying to me and I was only really doing something for you, not because you were forcing me to, but because I want to make our life better, and then you're lying to me. Ooh, boy.
See, talk about the difference between guys and girls. What do you think Lorelai would have done had the tables been turned?
Oh,
had she come home, caught him in a lie first?
I think it would have been a very big deal. I think it would have been an extraordinarily big deal.
Yep.
And it would have been brought out to the front right then and there, and we would have had a meltdown. That's my opinion.
Just like what I've done.
I am going to take the Fifth Amendment.
Early in our relationship, I caught Blake in a little fibby because all the guys said, let's fib. And Blake did. And I came home and I was like, liar! It was like the Princess Bride. Liar!
Oh my God. Really? You have to, we got to go over this. Talk about old stuff. Okay? Hornet's nest.
Isn't that what this episode is about?
Oh my God. Okay, moving on.
Let's talk about some trivia. I feel like we've dug into the depth of this episode. I think it was a whole big pile of mess up, and I loved it. I loved it so much because that's life, man. Life is not. And I like that it happened in spring. I like that this happened when the flowers were there, that it's all the festivals are going on. It's time for parades and crap is hitting the fan.
You know what? We didn't do best line.
Okay.
What do you got for your best line, my love?
I loved, I'm just a big, fat, Wookiee humping loser with no future. Because I think that sums up this episode. And maybe I'm just a Debbie Downer. I should be dressed up as Daria right now in all black. But I liked that line a lot. How about yours?
I'm just a big, fat, Wookiee humping loser with no future.
Yep. Imagine writing that and being like, that's a great line. Like, who would write that?
Oh, my God. I like the self-awareness of Lorelai saying a cup of Kofi Annan. She's like, that's international humor for you.
I didn't know what that meant.
Kofi Annan was the Secretary General of the United Nations. you know what, my love?
I didn't know. I was like, how you say it in Spanish? I didn't take Spanish. I took Italian. Cafe.
Oh, you know what? I think that's the sixth.
Un cafe, por favor.
You know what?
I can't even say it anymore. So it happens.
Oh,
do you know what happened?
Boy.
My phone just alerted me. It said you need to get to sleep in 8 minutes so that you can have 8 hours of sleep.
All right, well,
when did iPhones get so smart? My iPhone is like telling me, you need to go to bed, Mary Larson.
Go to sleep.
Where did this happen?
Are you ready for the trivia?
Yes, please.
All right. All right, so we got some, we got some little trivia things here. Marcy, the girl waiting in line, is played by Mae Whitman, as you guys know, who played Lauren Graham's daughter in Parenthood. And I really felt like that was a cute little nod, a cute little bit of self-awareness on Amy Sherman Palladino's behalf and Daniel Palladino's behalf, knowing that Lauren Graham had such a great role on Parenthood. And then also, here's the meta thing. She was waiting in line with her daughter in Gilmore Girls, and then again, waiting in line with her daughter from Parenthood at the same exact time. Great self-awareness there. I really like that.
Truly.
Rory is waiting in line for a bakery called Monique Aswell Bakery, an obvious nod to Dominic Ansel Bakery, which was credited with the creation of the Cronut in New York, and they were saying that the Cronut's no longer a big thing.
Yeah.
So that's that. Julia Goldani Tells, who portrays Sandy in Sandy Says, starred in Bunheads, which is actually was also created a show created by Amy Sherman Palladino. So there you go.
Cool. There was an Outlander reference in this episode.
Yes, there was.
Lorelai jokes that being a mom at 16 is hot in Outlander, but elsewhere. And I loved it. There we go. Give us some.
I got you.
Give us some Outlander. There we go. This episode also featured a background cameo by the Gilmore guys, Kevin and Demi, who among the B-list actors in the Dragonfly Inn dining room.
Yes,
so,
they were.
The Gilmore guys is probably one of our favorite Gilmore Girls podcasts. So if you haven't checked them out, you need to. But I love that a podcast hosts.
Right.
were able to be in a cameo. How flipping cool is that?
My love, final thoughts for this episode. What do you got for me?
I've got for you that if you've only watched Spring once and you said, what the hell was that? I feel like it was a Debbie Downer. Go back and watch it again and think about those times in your life where you took a wrong turn. You know, if you need to have a beer in hand and say, ah, yeah, I have some war stories too, Rory.
Wait, what do you got to be like?
Have a beer in hand, be like, ah, yeah. Then that's what you got to do, because watching it through different eyes, not just all of the glimmer and the lights and the parades of Stars Hollow, really showed it in a different way for me. And I enjoyed it that much more. How about you?
I will say that I like the fact that Rory admitted to her mother everything about Logan, and her mother saying, well, kid, that's what you get. You know, your life throws you some curve. You know, you have to face some curveballs. I actually really appreciated that. And Rory has faced nothing but curveballs in this episode. And I think I'm pleased, even though, again, I don't agree with how they got there, I'm pleased with the fact that she does face curveballs, and she does have to kind of eat a little humble pie here. And the show is not afraid to say Rory is a little screwed up. And she has been given a lot of things.
I'd like to say Rory is human, not screwed up. Rory is human.
Right. Okay. I'll co-sign on that.
Thank you.
I'll co-sign on that. But ultimately, I think the best thing that this episode did, aside from the therapy sessions.
I was going to ask you if it was aside from Kirk's movie.
I know. Which, by the way, I couldn't stand that movie. I mean, I thought it was very... although I did like the scene when they throw the hubcap and you see somebody's hand throwing the hubcap. The best thing that this show did, aside from the therapy sessions, is getting Rory back to Stars Hollow, getting her back under the care of her mother, getting her back into the world that we know and love her in. And it humbles her. And it gives itself the opportunity to be back in Stars Hollow and give the show the life that it deserves within Stars Hollow. Because that in and of itself is a character. As much as people don't want to admit it, or maybe they aren't aware of it, Stars Hollow is a character, just like Scotland is a character in Outlander. Just like the Florida Keys are a character in Bloodline. Just like the island was a character in Lost. Stars Hollow is that too. And we need to have all three of our Gilmore Girls back there leading their lives. And that is what I think this episode accomplished.
So I'm going to start a new thing. I need some music. Give me some music.
Wait, hold on. I have to play this.
We have to go back, Kate.
Because I did say Lost.
You did a while
ago.
Okay,
so what kind of music? Oh, you know, I didn't play the Gilmore Girls theme song during trivia. Yeah. Okay. If you're out on the road, okay, what do you got?
Bum, 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 bum. If you could have one word to describe this episode, what would it be?
Me. You're asking me, or you're asking the masses?
You, Blake. I'm asking the masses as well.
Ooh, insecurity.
Really?
Yeah, insecurity. Oh. I would say that everybody in this episode is insecure. Logan's insecure. What's it called? What's her name there? Rory's insecure. Emily, Lorelai, Luke, all insecure. Even Paris. Mm. Paris getting divorced.
Good.
Seeing Tristan. Insecurity.
I like it.
What do you got?
Well, I'll tell you that Ashley Nasacrawley says relatable.
Oh, okay.
Relatable.
All right. I like that.
You ready for mine?
Yes.
Ready for me to be deep?
I'm going to play it again. Here we go.
So deep that you only see feet. Whatever it was that you said in the beginning of the
show. So far on my ass, all you see is feet.
That's what I meant to say. I have no idea what that... Now, like, I do understand
you
that.
No, we're gonna change up songs here. We're gonna change up songs because you made the feet rip. Okay, sorry. There we go.
So here's my word.
Okay, what do you got?
Spring.
Oh,
ready?
My
ready?
God.
Ready? Here's why.
Okay.
Spring is muddy. Spring is like dirty in the beginning. Like I'm talking like March and April spring. But growth comes of spring.
Okay. So you're saying, see, I'm picking up what you're putting down here.
Yeah.
They're getting muddy. They're getting in the dirt, the thick of things, this the Aquafina, ugly pot.
This Aquafina that I'm drinking makes me really deep.
I think it's the cocaine.
It's the dirty, dirty spring. The planting spring.
Planting spring, where you get the dirt in your thumb.
The
you
seeds
know, under
are
your
being
nails.
Planted, and it takes a lot of work. And you say, will this really be beautiful one day? Because I just want to shower. I'm freaking tired. I'm just muddy. My yard looks like crap.
It's my coffee.
It's my coffee.
I need Kofi Annan.
So spring.
You know what, my love? I appreciate you. I got you.
Thanks.
And I appreciate that so much, in fact, that you are going...
John Gallagher is watching us!
John Gallagher is watching us! Yes,
John Gallagher!
My best friend John. Welcome, John. And John, this is for you, and now for my wife, too.
Bam! Just like that. A winner!
Thank you for joining us. And I will give you, that is a great first word. And I will even admit defeat. Better than my only word to describe this episode.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank
You're
you.
Welcome. My love, are you ready to close out the show?
Sadly, I am, just now that John Gallagher joined the party. But yes, John Gallagher, for those of you who don't know, is to Lorelei Snooki. Or not Snooki. Snooki. Can you imagine if Lorelei had to hang up with Snooki? Lorelei would be like tidying up the dining room with Michelle, and Snooki would be on the table with her bumpet
and her leopard dress.
I can't. Anyway, Lorelei and Snooki are like Blake and John Gallagher. Let's close out
my
the
God,
show
I'm
before.
I'm laughing so hot, I'm sweating.
Before I talk I'm about the Jersey Shore GTL.
Oh my goodness gracious. That is a way to close out the show. GTL, baby.
This Aquafina's got something in it.
I think that might be...
might be whiskey.
A little bit of vodka in there too, honey.
Anyway.
Jeez, wow. Well, now that we're classing up the joint with some Jersey Shore here.
Hey.
We want to let you know that you've been Gilmore. It is part of Mary and Blake Media, and you can see everything that Mary and I do at maryandblake.co, our website there, and it is housed at maryandblake.co. If you want to be part of the conversation, please visit us there or email us or Facebook Live us, or you can even call the hotline at 503-454-6730. And have your voice heard on our show here for You've Been Gilmored.
We also have a few other podcasts. You can check those out. Outlander Cast, Parent Cast, Living Reminders, and Wicked Roadie. And if you have a moment, since you're already like on a device listening to us, mm-hmm. we would love it if you could head on over to iTunes and leave us a written review. Let us know what you like about the show. 5 stars is pretty much all I accept at this point because I've been drinking Aquafina.
Yeah, heavily.
So, iTunes.
She'll go all Snooki on you.
That's right. That's it. Well, so our next episode, of course, is going to be about summer. Lots of time by the pool. I didn't even know Stars Hollow had a pool, but it does.
But it does.
And there's little boys
Stop
that will carry
talking
your stuff.
About future
I'm just
episodes.
I'm so excited. I want to find myself an 11-year-old boy to fan me. That's
oh
all I can say.
Call you Khaleesi.
My cat's name Khaleesi. I'm going to have to be something else. Mother of Dragons. I pretty much am. Listen. All right, ladies and gents. So on that note, I am Mary Larson.
My name is Blake.
And you've been listening
to Jersey Shore.
To You've Been Gilmore. GTL.